Melody. Can you hear me now? She used to work for Verizon. Amen. Well, thank you for having me here today. It's a real blessing being back here. And let's see, the last time I was here was 3 years ago. And a lot of amazing things have happened over the last 3 years. So I'm going to have to talk a little bit about that. And but what a great Sabbath school we had today. And actually, it kind of fit right in with the ministries and church ministries and the ways that we should be getting involved in the church. So that kind of fit right in with a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about today. And in fact, this kind of reminds me, speaking of One Can Make a Difference, my sermon title today. I was back in Las Vegas, and I go help this blind lady quite often when I'm back in Vegas. And this other lady was over there helping her. And the other lady needed help moving. She was actually moving right next door to where the blind lady was. And I told her, I said, well, I've got a van. I can help you move. You know, I was just willing to help. And I helped her move. And this lady had more boxes of Christian material than anybody I'd ever met. She had cases and cases of Bibles and books. And she even had a pulpit in her house. Yeah, and I found out that she was a pastor of one church and co-pastoring another church. She had Bibles more worn out than I've ever seen in a Seventh-day Adventist church. And you know that's tough to do, isn't it? You don't find Bibles more worn out than Seventh-day Adventist Bibles. And amen to that. And so I ran into her a couple more times. And then one day I just kind of looked at her. And we were sitting at a table there at the blind lady's house. And I just looked at her and I said, you know what? I said, with all your knowledge of the Bible, I can't believe you don't honor the Sabbath. She kind of looks at me, and I looked at myself. I was like, did I just say that? You know, because it's not something I would just jump out and say like that. But the Holy Spirit was really, you know, pushing me out there. And it kind of got to her. And I sent her some little emails with links and things, printed her off material, put it on her doorstep, and, you know, ran into her a couple more times. And she really became convicted of it. You know, the truth, she went back to her Hungarian Bibles. It's Thursday, Friday, Sabbath. There's not even another definition in Hungary like we have Sunday in America. And so she understood that the truth is the truth, and there's no getting around it. And it's simple. That's a simple one to figure out as a Sabbath. And so she was pastoring these two churches. She has a full-time medical career. She ended up where I took her out to prayer meetings, and I took her out to Bible studies, and then I took her to a few Sabbath schools, and she became more and more convicted of it. She quit pastoring those couple churches. This was about maybe 6 months after I was here last time, and she actually got baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yeah, you know, you never know who that one person's going to be either, because since then, this is a couple years ago, she started going back to those two churches because they wanted her to come back and preach, fill in and stuff like that. She's like, yeah, I'll be glad to come back. And she comes back, they're speaking, and they're like, where are you getting all this depth of knowledge that you're getting? Because she's really bloomed since she joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and she just has her quarterly with her. That's where she gets her sermons from. You know, she just goes right through that, and they love it. And the one church already has a Sabbath service. And she thinks both churches are going to be plant churches for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yeah, so you never know who that one person is, do you? So, amen. And, yeah, she's doing great. But and now she actually has a full-time ministry and a full-time, she does the prison ministries there, and she does a homeless ministry through the church and everything. So she's really doing amazing work. But, yeah, so, yeah, what's it? 3 years since I've been here last. In fact, let me start with prayer, though. Let me start with prayer. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us together today. And Lord, we know that this is about you and about serving your power and your glory beyond anything we could ever comprehend. So Lord, we come to you asking for forgiveness. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can be pure, so we can be worthy of being in your presence. And we welcome you into this home, into our hearts and into our minds, to dwell for all eternity. And Lord, I do ask that you use me as I surrender to you today, be the words that you need spoken, and give us the joy on this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah, 3 years. Now, the last time I was here, this was kind of funny. I actually had a minivan. I don't know how many of you were here last time, but I had a minivan, and I was towing a little 10-foot trailer. And the 10-foot trailer actually broke down over in Sydney, Nebraska. And I had to put everything in this little minivan, and I'm driving down the road like this just to get here, you know. And what I actually did, you know, God had told me to leave Sioux Falls like Thursday night instead of using Friday as my travel day. And I was listening to God. I said, okay, I'll go Thursday. I get to Sydney, Nebraska, Thursday night. I started getting tired. I pull over. The next day I'm driving away, and I hear this clankety, clankety, clank. And the hub was actually offset from the tire. And I went down to the a place to get it, you know, looked at. And the guy says, I can't believe you're even driving this vehicle in here. I had a cracked hub. He says, you would not have got 5 miles on this vehicle. And he says, driving down the road at 60 miles an hour, you probably would have just tumbled that whole thing all the way across the road, and you wouldn't be nothing left to pick up on that 1960 trailer that I had. Now, here's my new model. I got a bigger commercial van and a trailer that's twice the cubic feet, so God has blessed me abundantly. But here I am. I come here to do service, right? And now, this was my second tour last time I was here. The first tour, I had like 20 stops, lost a lot of money. It was a real nightmare, and I prayed. I was like, Lord, give me some way to do these events, and he provided a trailer, so I wouldn't have to pay for motel rooms and things like this, and so it saves me a lot of money, and that's why I'm able to do these things. And but I could have stayed in Sydney 6 hours away and canceled that sermon 3 years ago, but God was saying, you need to go. And I said, I am not going to let Satan get the best of me. So I packed everything up and came here to do the event. And that day, after service, Pastor and I were out here shaking hands with people, and one person in their 20s came up to me and said, you know what? After listening to you speak, I made my decision, and I'm going to join this church and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I thought, wow, never happened to me before. And I thought, what if I had stayed in Sydney? What was Satan trying to keep me away from reaching that one person? You never know who that one person's going to be. In fact, my trailer wasn't even done. I had to go all the way to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then drive 2,700 miles to go back and get my trailer and make it to my next stop in Ohio. That's how, you know. And the guy says, he says, it's going to cost about $700 to put a new axle on this thing. And I said, well, go ahead and put one on. And he says, it's not worth $700. I said, make it an extra heavy-duty one. So I actually got the thing fixed, and God, I used that for 2 years on the road, so God has really blessed me that way. Now, I do want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about getting on the path and a little bit about the journey that I've been on. Let me give you a quick testimony in case you weren't here last time I was here. I used to own a casino in Las Vegas for quite a few years. Yes, I was in the casino business. I had a liquor and gaming license. I catered for celebrities. I catered for, you know, big events. And I did very well at this casino business. Sometimes I'd have more people in my casino than you have in here right now. And they make a lot of money. I mean, so it was nothing sometimes to pull $20,000 out of a slot machine for the week. They do make a lot of money. But I started seeing a lot of the devastation that was happening from that casino business and all the people that were losing their finances, losing their homes, losing their jobs, you know, people that were not feeding their kids, people that were committing suicide, you know, and God kept telling me, Mark, I don't want you in this business. I got better plans for you. But I wasn't listening to God. And I got to tell you, if you were here last night, we talked about it. One of the definitions of listening to God is actually obedience. Look it up in the dictionary. There's a lot of people listening to God with their ears, but they're not listening to God with their actions. And we need to be obedient to God, listening to what he wants us to do and following through with what he's asking us. And I'll tell you what, I actually, you know, got out of that liquor and gaming business. And, I did marry Miss Wright. I thought I married Miss Wright, but I did not know her first name was Always. Yeah, I married Miss Always Wright, and when the money was gone, so was she. But the amazing part was the closer I was getting to God, the farther away she was getting from me. You know how it works that way, but when the money was gone, so was she. And God was humbling me. I knew that I needed to be humbled. And I ended up actually living in my car for a few months. I was so far in debt. And I got reestablished and everything. But one thing I did was started spending time on my knees. And I'll tell you what, 15 minutes a day on your knees, that is just 1% of your day. And if you will just start spending 1% of your day on your knees, Christ will change your life. He will. He can do amazing things when you, come to him every day like that. And so I did, I got out of liquor and gaming business. I've never been back since. And God has just been blessing me abundantly. I went to over 300 churches in Las Vegas. I was born and raised Catholic, and I went through the whole Catholic church for years and years. Left church when I left home. But back in Las Vegas, I went to over 300 churches. And every single, for years, I was going to all these different churches and could not find a decent church. So I quit going to church altogether, but I stayed in study, I stayed in prayer, I stayed reading that Bible every single day. And then all of a sudden I tuned in and came across 3ABN on television. And I was like, wow, they're teaching the whole message. I didn't know there was a church out there teaching the whole message. Back in Vegas, we call the churches two-verse Charlies, because they'll take two verses of the Bible, and that's what they live by. And so I ended up, watching 3ABN more and more. And over the years, I was like, man, that's a church I want to belong to. And I'm sending donations to 3ABN and, telling them what a good job they're doing. And then I ended up getting a call from the people at 3ABN wanting me to come out and do a cooking show. And I was going to church at Paradise Church in Las Vegas, kind of the same family, like this. It's a very home church. And so I went to 3ABN, did some filmings over and over, and I just got baptized like 5 years ago now. It was a couple of years before I was here last time by Jim Gilley. And God has used me ever since. I'm like Isaiah 6:8. I'm like, send me, I'll go. Yeah. There's so many people that come up to me and they're like, Mark, you were making that kind of money on those slot machines and that casino business? You need to get back in that business. And I just look at them, I'm like, why would I ever go back to Egypt when I see the promised land right in front of me? Amen? We are this close to the promised land. There's no looking back. We need to get on fire for the Lord instead of sitting there putting God on the back burner. Little kitchen lingo for you. And, that's what we need to do. Everybody's putting God on the back burner. We need to be closer to him in a mighty way. Now, I started doing these tours, and everywhere I go, God is using me in amazing ways. Just did my 500th cooking show earlier this year. 500. Done them in every single state in the country now, including Alaska and Hawaii. I've never charged a person a nickel. I've never charged the churches. I've never charged the people attending. We just pass the hat around. People donate, and God's provided every step of the way. And I think between Melody and me over the last 3 years, we've probably done over 1,000 speakings. When you look at all the other speakings other than cooking shows that we do, yeah, we're probably pushing 1,000 speakings. And see, God can use you. God can use one person. But are you willing to step up to the plate and start taking those steps? That's what I want to know. How many of you are willing to take a step and make a difference for the kingdom? It might just be for one person. You never know who that one person is that you're going to be reaching. But you got to be reaching somebody. You got to be doing something. Not every one of you is going to go touring the country the way I do. But there's always one person you can reach. Look at the two people that went on the Peru trip. Can you imagine how many people they've reached in a mighty way? That's amazing. I think you need to go again. I think we need to send them out again. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, when I go to churches, in some of the smallest neighborhoods. One church has had 12 people in their congregation. I go to, and 50 people showed up to the cooking show. Sometimes I go to churches in gang areas with prison bars on the windows. And I've had other people that do events. And, you know, and they come up to me and they're like, Mark, why do you waste your time with those churches? They're looking for all the money churches. And I just look at them, I'm like, well, why don't you? I mean, doesn't God want us going everywhere? We need to be going everywhere for the kingdom. We absolutely do. And so, you know, one church down in Atlanta, Georgia, I went there a couple years ago. We had 100 people show up at the cooking show. They were dealing drugs like 20 yards away from me all day long. Real rough area. And I went back a year later. I had to go to Florida. I went back to the same pastor and everything. We had 225 people at the second cooking show. And he had told me that from that first cooking show, 8 people were in baptismal classes, and 3 had already been baptized. That had never been in a Seventh-day Adventist church before, but they came to a cooking show. And this happens all over the country. You'd be amazed at how many people that you can reach this way. Now, tomorrow's event is at 2 o'clock. We're going to be packed down there. And if you want, I think, is it Collegedale has one at, College View has one at 6 o'clock on Monday. So if you don't, if you can't make it tomorrow, we've always got Monday at 6. But, you know, it's a journey. It's a step. We have got to get on the path. We have got to get on the path. One thing, oh, let me mention that too about forgiveness before I forget. 1 Kings 14:8. I got to share this with you. 1 Kings 14:8. Because we got to stay in forgiveness. That's the first step into being in a position and condition to receive God's blessings, okay? We've got to remain in forgiveness. And 1 Kings 14:8, this is God talking, and it says, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, only to do what was right in my eyes. Now, God is saying that David kept all his commandments. Wasn't David an adulterer and a murderer? And God says this 3 times in the Bible. And I'm like, well, we can't call God a liar now, can we? And I thought about this, and it just goes to show you that God not only forgives us of every one of our sins, he literally forgets every one of our sins. Amen? I mean, we have got an awesome, awesome God, and I don't know how he does it, but that is one of the mysteries of God. He literally forgets every one of your sins. And God has forgiven all of us. He has put us on a fresh start with him. We can all take those steps forward knowing that Christ is the one who is our Lord and Savior. And the only one that's going to bring up those sins of the past, that's Satan, saying, you're not good enough. Remember this, remember that. So we've got a good start. We've got a foundation. You know, David was constantly in forgiveness. This happened after David had died. So that's why God is saying, I don't remember any sins. You know, God's already forgiven them. So anyway, yeah, we've got to get on that path. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I see around the country, and there's a lot of people that they recognize people in the community, that one person that's made a difference. And you could look back in history saying, well, look at the difference that George Washington made in society, or Abraham Lincoln, or, you know, one of the presidents, or Benjamin Franklin, what a difference he made in society, right? Other people might look at other people that might have made a difference, like maybe Joyce Meyer, or Joel Osteen, or one of the mainstream ministers. Now, are they making a right difference or a negative difference? Are they bringing baby Christians to the truth? Are they, you know, who knows how you want to refer that to? There's other people that made a big difference in the society. Maybe Hitler. He made a big difference, didn't he? You know, Stalin. There's lots of people that we could look at making a big difference, but are they making a positive difference or are they making a negative difference? So we've got to understand, in order to make a big difference, first, we got to make sure that we're in the right position and condition to receive God's blessings. And then we can move forward, actually taking those steps. And God will take you and help you. God does not call the prepared. God prepares the called, okay? And what you have to do is answer that call and start taking those steps. God can't do anything with you when you're standing still. There's too many people out there standing around saying, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord does not mean to stand there and do nothing. Waiting on the Lord is action. We're supposed to wait on the Lord like a waiter or waitress waits on us in a restaurant. Actually doing something. That's what waiting on the Lord means. And every one of us, it's literally our responsibility to wait upon the Lord with action. We have to do these kind of things. There are so many things we can do out there, and one person can make a difference. I'll tell you, there's over 150 verses in the Bible alone that talk about the difference that Christ has made. And I want to share a couple of these with you. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Just what I'm talking about. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And it goes on and on. I could go through all these. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is verse after verse after verse about what Christ has done for us. He is the one who has done everything for us. He is the one that works through us. We need to be listening to him so that we can reach others the way he has reached us. You getting this? You know, that's what we have to do. Now, there's three things you have to do to be a good Christian, okay? This is an easy one. Three things you have to do to be a good Christian. You got to talk to God. You got to let God talk to you. And you got to talk to others about what Christ has done in your life. Now, you talk to God through your prayer. Get that prayer time every morning. God talks to you through his Bible, through his word. God talks to us through circumstances. God talks to us through that still, silent voice. Most of us go into prayer. We just ask God what we need, what we want, and then we go. That's our prayer. We need to take that time of silence where we're not asking for God for anything. We're not talking to God about anything. We are listening in silence for that time so we can hear his voice. Most people do not take that silence in their prayer. And take time. Take lots of time. And then the third thing, we got to talk to others about what Christ has done in our life. And that's what we need to do. Now, there's one thing about getting on the path you got to understand, okay? Because there's a lot of people out there that they don't get on the path, and one of their biggest excuses is, well, I try to get support from the church, but they just won't support me. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, well, what do you have? Let me see what you got. What do you got anything written down? And they're like, well, no, I don't. I just haven't had any support. And I said, you don't have anything written on paper? And they're like, no, I can't get any support. And I said, well, I wouldn't support you either. You have to have a track record, okay? This is the way society works nowadays. Now, when it comes to contributions, okay, the older generation, they know to donate and contribute and tithe properly because they know it's the right thing to do. But these younger generations don't think the same way. The younger generations want to see a track record. They want to know what you're doing and where their money is going to a good cause. They don't donate on what you're going to do. People donate on what you have done. And if you haven't done anything, the church is not going to support you. But if you get out there and you start taking some steps and you can show a track record, then the church will support you. You see how that works? I am tired of all these people in the church saying, I can't get anything done. Well, you can't get anything done because you're not taking those steps. Take one little step, another baby step, another baby step. And eventually, you're going to get there where you can look back and say, look at all these steps that I've done. I've got a track record here, just to let you know. Here's a little binder. Get one of these if you're going to do a little mission work, if you're going to do a food ministry, whatever you're going to do. Don't let the church stop you. Just start walking. Get on the path. Eventually, you're going to have a track record. This is just articles, and a lot of them are front page articles from all over the country. I hit the front page like 6 times, the cover story 4 times now in different communities, and even got a front page in full color with Hans Diehl. And so you got to have a track record. Then people will see, and they will know that you're doing the right thing. They'll see the fruits of your labor. And that's what people contribute to. And so I'm kind of showing you some tactics of how you get on the path. Because when you start getting on the path, then you can start reaching that one person. You can reach that one person. You can reach that one person. And people are going to see what you're doing is a very good thing. And every one of us can do this type of thing. You know, we are to life as the authorized representatives of Christ Jesus with all the power and eternal life that he sacrificed his life on the cross for us. So we need to start living the life that Christ gave us. Most of us are just sitting there. We need to be out there, you know, having the most vibrant life. One thing Satan does, Satan puts people in a state of hope. He really does. And I got so many funny people looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? He does. We talked a little bit about it last night, but I'm going to go in depth right here real quick. Satan puts people in a state of hope. Hope. Bananas? No, that's tomorrow. Here we go. Hope. These are definitions of hope in the Bible. You got to get this. Definitions of hope in the Bible. Safety, hope, security, boldly, assurance. There's some pretty good ones here. Confidence, to anticipate is another one. Now, these are definitions of hope in the Bible, too. To be careless, without care, one who is overconfident and shows no caution whatsoever. That's a definition of hope. The folly, here's a definition of hope. The folly of relying upon any other type of security strongly contrasted with depending on God alone. That's a definition of hope. And my favorite one, an expressed sense of resignation. There is nothing more one can do. Now that kind of sounds like hopelessness to me, doesn't it? So we've got to understand there's a big difference between hope being a noun, our hope is Jesus Christ, and hope being a verb, which is an ungodly, earthly hope. You know, people hope today. Satan has bundled it all into one big package. And you'll hear a lot of the mainstream ministers, all you need is hope and everything's going to be fine, as they're chanting, basically. And it's actually a form of insanity. Now, you know what insanity is, right? Doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. That's what people are doing with hope. They're hoping for the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. They're hoping the economy gets better. They're hoping that administrations can do something to make things better. They're hoping they get a job without ever actually applying for a job. That's what they do. Now, what we need to do is we need to have our hope fulfilled, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen? We need to walk out these doors with excitement, you know, with passion, because our hope is fulfilled right now. And people are going to look at you and say, I don't know what it is about that person or that person, but I want some of that. I mean, it is really getting dark in society. I go all over the country. I see businesses, whole shopping centers closed down. The economy here is actually a little better than the rest of the country, just to let you know. I've noticed that. But it is getting worse and worse and worse. And this is the time that we need to be shining the brightest. This is the time when we need to go out to the community You know, there's a loud cry getting ready to happen very, very soon. We're not prepared for it. We need to prepare for that loud cry. We need to be ready. If 1,000 people came through the door tomorrow, we'd be standing here saying, I don't know what to do. You know, it really would. But we need to prepare ourselves for that loud cry. And and reaching that one person right now really makes a difference. When you can reach one person here, one person there, sometimes you might just be planting the seeds. Other time you might actually be watering the seeds. And then the harvest, God will come in and do the harvest. You know, there was one couple that came to one of my sermons. They thought they were coming to a cooking show. And he was a gambler. And they met me after church and they said, never again. They were so convicted. But that's the way God brings people sometimes. I had one lady come in and she, after service, she says, I have no idea why I came through those doors today. But God just told me I needed to come in. She had no idea. You know, that's what happens out there. God is putting people in your path for you to witness to. And you've got to have that discernment. You have to have those eyes that see what's going on out there. You know, God gives us so many opportunities. And most of them, I would say we miss out on them. We miss out on God's blessings. We miss out on his opportunities to reach the community. We miss out on so many things. You know, and mostly because we're not putting God first. We're not listening to God. We're not reaching those individuals. There's so much we can do. And I'll tell you what we really need to do. We need to pray for discernment, okay? Discernment, that's where you get godly wisdom. You get godly knowledge. It's like using God's eyes instead of your own. Speaking of reaching one person, back in Las Vegas, there's this girl, her name is Erin, and she's serving a lifetime sentence in prison for murder. Born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. Killed a woman and her unborn baby. And she's been in prison for about 8 years. About 4 years ago, her aunt wanted me to write her. So I wrote her, and we've been writing. I've wrote her dozens and dozens and dozens of letters, all about forgiveness, all about salvation, all about sanctification, all about surrendering her life to Christ, one step after another with this one person in prison. And she really became convicted of it and decided to quit working on the Sabbath. She made a decision to surrender her life to Christ all over again. And we got her two flutes. She plays the Seventh-day Adventist music at four different services. Her and her friend, her cellmate, yeah, they play the flute. We got her Bibles. We've got her so many things. She actually got a job a couple years ago working at the loading docks. And her boss, she asked her boss if she could bring in a portable baptismal. And there's a pastor that comes up, Al, from Northern Nevada, that comes down all the time and visits her too. And her first baptism, she baptized 19 girls in prison. She's had half a dozen other baptisms. The biggest one had 29 girls baptized in prison. This is a girl in prison doing more than most of us are doing out here. So don't tell me that God cannot do something with you. We got to quit getting on these excuses. You know, God can do something with every one of us. And over there at that prison, I've talked to the guards, and they come up to me and they say, you know what, that lady, she's the real deal. And they've told me that when girls have problems, they send them to her for counseling. And you talk about having to have discernment. She has discernment. And Ellen White talks about discernment more than any other subject in the Bible. More than any other subject. And let me share this with you real quick here. This is the Great Controversy, page 595. Page 595. The multitudes do not want biblical truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful, world-loving heart. And Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible, and only the Bible, as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. Satan is now putting forth his utmost effort for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to be opened before us. Antichrist is to perform him marvelous works in our sight, so closely with the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by Holy Scriptures. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. And that's how close we are. That's why we've got to read more, we got to study more, and we got to pray more. We got to get tighter as a community and tighter as a family in the church. This remnant needs to be very tight so Satan can't come pull and be picking off all these frays. You know, iron sharpens iron. Amen? And we need to be strengthening each other in a mighty way because those end days are right now upon us. We don't have a lot of time. That's how critical it is that we go out there and reach that one person. Maybe that one person is somebody in the church here that you need to reach. We need to be strengthening each other as well. Maybe that one person is sitting right next to you. Maybe you're that one person that needs to be studying a little more. But when we do it together, you support each other and you can grow in a mighty way with the Lord. So go to those prayer meetings, go to those Sabbath schools, be involved in the church, just like our quarterly said today. Get involved in the church in a mighty way. This is your home. Your house is where you live. This is your home. And this is your family. And that's where we need to be connecting and strengthening each other, and then go out there and reach all the brothers and sisters that don't know about the truth yet. Because we're all children of God. And we can help even that one person in a mighty way. So, amen. Yeah, Erin, you'd love her. She's such a joy to be around anymore. It's amazing. You know, luck was derived from the word Lucifer, to take favor away from God. Yeah, luck. How come every time something good happens in your life, you are lucky? But every time something bad happens in your life, oh, that was from God. That was meant to be. Excuse me? If something good happens in your life, I guarantee you we need to give God the blessings and the thanks. Amen? And if something bad happens in your life, that was Satan. Satan had something to do with it if something bad happened in your life. But I'll tell you what. I'm a true believer. Romans 8:28, all things work to God's greater good, to those that love him. I don't care what Satan does in your life. I don't care if you lose a child. I do care, but... or if you lose an arm or a leg or lose a job, if you take that to the foot of the cross, God can turn it into something even better. That's God's ability. He can take whatever Satan does to you and flip it around and make something better out of it. And that's what we need to do. Anytime we have troubles, anytime we have problems, run to the cross. And then let's start getting on that path and start taking those steps with action. Let's start doing things with our church. Let's start doing things in the economy that will help the church. Let's start doing things in our neighborhoods. Every one of us, I can see you doubling the size of this congregation. You're going to need a bigger room. So we'll have to help you with some fundraising abilities here. But yeah, because look, you've already filled this room. So a lot more people than it was last time. So again, God is working in amazing ways. We just need to allow him to do that. So let me say a prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us all together today on this Sabbath day. And Lord, I do know that Satan is shooting arrows at all of us, and he's shooting more arrows and bigger arrows. But Lord, we know that you can protect us from anything that Satan has to throw at us. And we know that you can provide in mighty ways that we could never imagine. And we know that Satan is doing that because Satan knows his last arrow is soon to be shot. And you're coming forth to take all of us home for an eternity with you. So, Lord, we just come to you in thanks and surrender, giving you our lives, giving you everything we have. And we know, Lord, that there's people here that are still sitting on the fence, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you will get them on solid ground. Get them as far away from that fence as possible. Because we know Satan owns the fence. So, Lord, I just ask that you will impress upon the hearts of the people that are here, that are still on that fence, to stand up and get on solid ground with you. And let's celebrate this Sabbath as not only a day of reverence, but a day of celebration. The mirror image of that thousand-year Sabbath that you have in store for us. We know that it's right around the corner. So we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.